Welcome back to State of the Arts. Let's continue with our roundtable discussion with Cheech Marin.
Elvira Carizal Dukes from UTEP is next.
Hi, so I grew up watching your films.
Bless you.
Up in Smoke came out the year I was born.
Oh.
And I also grew up watching Luis Valdez plays and his films. And then later in college, I learned about Henry Gamboa. And so I learned about a new style of Chicano filmmaking.
Uh-huh.
And now here I am, years later, teaching Chicano cinema.
Isn't that nice?
So my question is related to what I teach. And so I wanted to know, how do you define Chicano cinema, and what is the state of Chicana and Chicano cinema today, and do you think it's necessary, why or why not?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think it all has to come down to the definition of Chicano right now, which is in great flux, and it's as it should be. You know, one of the academic questions that I'm proposing to everybody that's going to be involved in the community is, what is the definition of Chicano today? What I've been hearing, especially from all the artists, it is not solely Mexican-based. It is Central American, South American, Mexican, because that's how this great street art phenomenon occurred, because Chicanos were separated out from their own community by means of being other. Chicanos were other. They weren't Mexicanos anymore. They were Chicos. They were Chicanos, little satellite Mexicans living in tin shacks along the border. You know, so they were ousted from their own, you know, their mother community. So they were other. So this tag applies to all those people that grew up in the same milieu. They were influenced by the same cultural bending forces. They are other. Well, they grew up going to the same schools, being influenced by the same aesthetic principles, and they formed this art. And first, because the Chicanos were ousted from their own community through no fault of their own, and then it was dead for a little while. But then the next generation, a couple of generations, the younger kids, the rock and rollers, the punkers with the black leather jackets, they were also artists. They start going back and forth across the border, you know, from either Mexico or Honduras to Nicaragua. They were the ones that brought Chicano art to the forefront because it spoke to them. The big collectors in Mexico didn't buy Chicano art. They bought European-based art. Even if it was Mexican art, it was Wilfredo Lam or, you know, all those kind of guys. It was still European-based. And the essence of Chicano aesthetic is it was based on New World aesthetic rather than a European-based aesthetic. So, and they started building this more and more, and then it grew and grew, and until it finally came to, jumped across the continent to South America and got taken up by South American artists, Colombian, Venezuelan, and it became this art phenomenon called street art. And it is an international movement that you can see in every city in the world. I don't care if you come from Cairo or Caracas or Memphis or whatever. You cannot drive from the airport in any of those cities to the center of the city without seeing it on both sides of the highway. It's a language. It doesn't have a specific alphabet, but it does have a vocabulary. And it's a vocabulary that when you see it, you understand the movements in it, because it talks about what's happening in that city, the political and social forces that are, and it's different and the same everywhere you go, and they have idioms that are exchanged between all those. So it's like, and it started with Chicano art, and it really did. You know, I traced back as far as I can how this form of art and this way of speaking, literally, was formed. And every country has joined that, you know. And so it's, oh, okay, we are all one, you know, and it speaks to that explanation of we are all one, we're human beings.
And now we have our final question from Molly Schrader, editor of the Tejano Tribune from EPCC.
Hi.
How about you?
So, what kind of role do you think celebrities such as yourself should play in promoting Chicano art?
It always helps. You know, it always helps. I mean, I know since I've started collecting and advertising this process that I have this big collection and I've traveled around so everyone can enjoy it, other big collectors have arisen and bless them. And that's what I want. And each of them have their own goals or their own reason why they're doing this. Some it's for, they think it's going to be the next big art thing and they're going to buy it for $2 and sell it for $2 million. good luck. You know, the wheels in the art industry grind slowly. But it helped me. It helped me because through Cheech and Chong and Cheech, I've had a lot of goodwill out there. It wasn't like I played a serial killer in every movie. You know, I played a character that everybody could, you know, relate to and fun, and it was relevant to the community. So that absolutely helped, you know. But now we're going to use Riverside to not only expand the definition of Chicano, but expand and focus on other aspects of the art-making process, besides painting and printmaking and sculpture. I really want to focus on video. That is a place where we can really be a world leader, because it's not as expensive. If you have an iPhone, you can be a video artist, and that's what's coming. And I want to be at the forefront of that, you know, because Chicanos have a lot to say, and the access to the processes that are happening in front of them are right there. I want to have a lowrider museum. It's that combination of high and low art at the same time, which all my favorite artists encompass. Cheech and Chong were high and low art at the same time. You know, Frank Zappa was high and low art at the same time. And there's a lot of artists throughout the ages. Oh, it's a big net. That includes a lot of people, and you gather up from the ocean floor as creatures that you've never seen before, and that's part of the process. It's, you know, it's like, oh, because you should have that moment standing in front of a work of art. Wow, that's the criterion. The wow is informed by a lot of knowledge about different aspects, but when you see it all come together, it's, oh, wow, and that's my criteria. You know, like, wow, that's a cool painting, man. You know, and why it's cool is because all these elements come together, you know, and that's great, because all the artists that I collect or have collected in this are university and or art school trained, and they're influenced by international historical art, plus their community, and plus Mexican art, and plus whatever Latino country they come from. But I want to gather them under, I want to relabel them under a bigger definition of Chicano, because it has come to mean other. It always has meant other, but there's a bigger definition of what that otherness consists of right now, you know, and I want to join them all together, because it is a thread that we're going to, you know, it's a thread that makes this country better and world better, you know. It's like, because now we will start to reach out to have a more international face, and that's when it really gets started. I'm not French, but I like Impressionists. I'm not Spanish, but I like Picasso or Jeff Koons or Rembrandt. I mean, Dutch painters are some of my favorite painters. You know, I don't have to be of that little neighborhood in order to experience and appreciate world art. And that's the track we're heading on right now. The Chicano art will be a significant and almost accepted part of the conversation, where, you know, where you can sit there in front of your big screen TV and eat guacamole with Dorito chips and a Corona, and that'd be quintessentially American. You know, so it happens in front of us. You know, so, yeah, it's a nice ride.
Thank
and
you.
It really is a nice ride.